I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
And welcome to a Memorial Day edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for listening and supporting, and thanks to all of you that serve our great nation. We don't have Spits and Suds unless you guys defend our country and do what you do. So special tribute to all that served and all that are currently serving on this Memorial Day. So you guys have heard a lot from me lately, and that's why I was excited to bring on our Spits and Suds bestie, Robert Tiffin from StarsThoughts.com. Highly recommend you go to StarsThoughts.com and subscribe to it. He is also with David Castillo doing quick write-ups after the game for D Magazine, and Robert joins us now. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, Gavin. Doing good. It's a very stormy Memorial Day, but it's still an important day. So glad to be here.
Yeah. So I think Spits and Suds listeners might be a little sick of hearing from me and what I think needs to happen. So let's get Robert's overall thoughts on this series and, you know, what you would like to see.
Yeah. Well, it depends really on how far you want to zoom out and zoom in. I think if you're zoomed out a ways and you look at, you know, okay, how's the series going? Sure. We know, you know, special teams, the Stars had those three power play goals in the first game, but, you know, was that just a stroke of good fortune? They got hot for a good 6-minute stretch there, and are they getting outplayed everywhere else? Well, yes and no. Obviously, we know game three seemed like the Stars deserved better than they got, at least for broad stretches. I think Pete DeBoer called that third goal by McDavid right at the end of the second period a backbreaker, and I think that's about what it felt like. Just given all the pressure Dallas had. But, you know, you can talk about specific players too. I actually want to start by talking about the Oilers really quick.
Sure.
Because as much as you're going to, you know, what the team that you're rooting for, you tend to blame their players for a goal. And the team that you're rooting for when they score, you give their players credit for the goal. But it goes both ways too. And I think you can't really talk about the series without talking about Evan Bouchard, who has just been incredible for the Oilers. In both directions, really. He's not just been, you know, someone who creates in the offensive zone, but he's been a force for them at both ends of the ice. He's directly either scored or created at least one goal every game. He, Hyman, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins have all been really, really good for Edmonton. As much as they talk about, oh, the depth is better and everything this year, they really haven't needed the depth aside from the odd goal they got here or there. I think Connor Brown chipped in one the other day. Because those three, along with McDavid and Draisaitl, have been more than enough to counter Dallas's offense. And that's why Dallas hasn't been able to hold them to fewer than three goals. And you're just not going to win many playoff games when you're giving up three goals every night, unless you're playing the Avalanche, in which case, you know, the game's going to be more wide open to begin with. But you have to give Edmonton a lot of credit because they're kind of second-tier guys. You know, Ryan Nugent Hopkins and Sagan, you might say they've kind of gone tit for tat a little bit. Sagan's had a really good series for my money, actually, so far. But beyond that, Bouchard has been probably the best defenseman. In fact, I would say absolutely the best defenseman in this series. And for Dallas, you just can't you need that not to be the case when you have Haskinen and Harley on your back end. So you need one of them to step up and match that level or surpass that level of play from Bouchard. For me, it all kind of starts there, because you can talk a lot about it. Any individual who needs to get going, you know, I'm sure we can talk about Wyatt Johnson or Matt Duchene or anyone like that. But when you have that sort of weapon on the back end that Edmonton has had, and when you have, you know, other defensive depth, Brett Kulak's been really good.
Yes.
You know, John Klingberg has looked much more like the John Klingberg that Dallas fans were sad to lose, as opposed to the one who was clearly fighting injury. So to me, goaltending, frankly, is the least interesting part of the series so far. Game three, everyone liked to say, oh, not everyone, I shouldn't characterize it that way, but you can look at it and say, oh, wow, Skinner just absolutely broke the Stars' hearts. And, well, yeah, he kind of did, but also look at how the goals were scored in game three. How many odd man rushes or breakaways did Dallas get? Everyone remembers the Sagan breakaway in game one to tie it back up. That ended up being a very big goal. But in game three, you had McDavid scored on a 3-on-1. Zach Hyman scored on a breakaway, and then Zach Hyman also scored in kind of a 2-on-1 that tip play for the Oilers. What was it? I think their fifth goal to really seal things. They had three odd man rushes or breakaways in that game. Dallas didn't have any, really. I mean, maybe you can count Colin Blackwell's kind of shorthanded, kind of on his knees and swats at that puck. Great effort by Blackwell. I thought he had a great game yesterday. And for my money, Blackwell probably doesn't come out of the lineup, even if Hintz does come back.
Yep.
But yeah, we could go in a lot of different directions here. But for my money, you really can't compare goaltending. I think you have to start with the defense, because Dallas needs to get more from its blue line. Its blue line was really, really big, even without Miro Heiskanen in the first two series. And so far, Edmonton's blue line has kind of been outplaying them. And they were really kind of preventing those worst chances. You know, Dallas has had a couple of bad pinches in this series, whereas Edmonton's defense really was steady enough last game to where even when Dallas was playing really well and putting pressure on, they didn't allow those, you know, grade AA chances or AAA chances.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the difference.
You know, it's just from an NHL perspective, with Bouchard, he's a restricted free agent. And the reason I bring that up, and it's interesting, is that we know that Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues poached two restricted free agents, Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway, from Edmonton based on Edmonton's kind of cap restraints. So it'll be really interesting if a team throws a big contract at Bouchard, because you're right. At his age, with what he can do and what coaches and other NHLers and goalies say about that shot from the point, boy, that brings a lot of value. So just a little interesting tidbit, but that's for after the season. But I agree with you. I thought Colin Blackwell, I just love his energy. And I think in these kinds of series, you need energy, you know, like that. So I'm so glad you started with Edmonton, because I completely agree with you, Robert. I think we need to take a step back and realize that this Edmonton team going into this series, I mean, they made the Kings and Vegas look really bad. And maybe that's the Pacific Division to a point, but I agree with you. They are truly on a heater. So
yeah.
I did want to bring this up as number two, because I don't like to determine, and I said this on Spits and Suds last night, I don't like to talk about officiating, because it's not the reason they're down 2-1, but there have been some pivotal non-calls in this series, Robert, and I think that's been disappointing. I'll point out a few. I'm surprised that at least, let's just say, a fine was not levied against Darnell Nurse. I would have accepted that. The delay of game obviously came at a big time, and two goals were scored in that time that would have been a Stars power play. We don't know what's going to happen, but clearly that was a momentum shift. And it was interesting because Jamie Benn was cut open yesterday and there was no high stick on that play. So I just feel as though that could have been a 4-minute double minor. So I don't like to say that's the cause, Robert, but I'm also going to say that it certainly wouldn't hurt if those things were called.
Well, and you also have to look at, you know, Dallas had that first game where they won because of their power play, right? They scored three straight power play goals to grab the lead and stun Edmonton. And then, you know, from the momentum of that, they had a really good third period and they took that game. Since that first game, power plays have been 8-4 for Edmonton. Edmonton's had twice as many power plays as Dallas.
Yeah.
And yeah, game two, Dallas didn't play well in a lot of different areas, but remember the first goal Edmonton scored in game two. And again, first goal is huge. The better the team, the more important that first goal is. Dallas overcame it a lot so far in the playoffs, but they've given up the first goal in all three games of series. But the first goal in game two was off that boarding call on Granlund on, was it Troy Stetcher? I can't remember exactly who it was.
Yes.
I think it might have been Stetcher.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
Who sees Granlund coming. Granlund's about to lay legal
hit
him, and then he turns into the boards at the last minute. Granlund gets a boarding penalty, you know, but presumably because the officials think he could have pulled up or changed his path or something. I would quibble with that a little bit. But that's a tough call. That's a tough call. And then, of course, you know, Nugent Hopkins scores right after that, after Bouchard sends a slap shot that deflects to him perfectly in the back door there. And then this game, power plays. Not to mention the missed whistle. It's obviously a talking point, like you said. No one wants to harp on it or be seen as whining about officiating or anything like that. But it's a talking point, right? Even that whistle when Ben was at the doorstep there and they blew it dead when Skinner didn't appear to really have it covered. His glove was kind of on Ben's skate also, and Ben was able to move the puck over and it got put in. That whistle was kind of quick, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's funny because if it goes in before the whistle, you can review it. But if the whistle blows it dead, you can't do anything about it. And similar with the delay of game. If you put it over the glass and they call it a penalty, but it actually did get deflected, you can challenge that and get the penalty taken away.
Yeah.
But the general managers have chosen not to have it be the other way, which, you know, we can debate that another time, but that's the rule. So those are kind of two that Dallas probably feels, you know, those are bad breaks. The Ben High stick, you know, it's funny because I was thinking at the time all the way back to game one against Colorado when McKinnon got high sticked a little bit behind the net there,
yep.
I think by Hintz. And then he ended up kind of lobbying for a call and nothing looked like it was being called. And then when play was stopped a little bit later, it appeared McKinnon had kind of convinced the refs to do it. And even some of the post-game quotes, McKinnon said, well, I don't want to talk too much about it, but basically just, you know, McKinnon said without saying, yes, I told them they should review it. And they ended up reviewing it and getting the right call, it must be said. But obviously Jamie Benn didn't do the same thing. Again, different situation. Ben's going for a hit along the boards there. Player moves out of the way and their stick, again, I can't remember that Stetcher who that was, but their stick gets him. Yes, any one of those in a vacuum, you can kind of look at it and just say, yeah, it's a fast game. It's the playoffs. These things happen. That delay of game penalty even, yeah, that's hard to spot in the moment. I don't know too many people who probably saw that in real time and said, oh, yeah, absolutely. That was cleanly out of play. I mean, there are players in between where the puck is on the blade of Kulak and where Kulak's body is. So you can understand why that wasn't called. It's just, man, the uncalled slash. Again, the Stars would score later on kind of the same play, but the slash that broke, I think it was Petrovic's stick, and then he ended up laying that big hit on Connor Brown when he went to the bench to get a stick. So, you know, maybe the Oilers in retrospect wish that had been called. certainly Brown does. And, you know, I've heard Oilers fans saying that they think that should have been a suspension or something for Petrovic hitting Brown there. I don't think the NHL is, I think they've made it pretty clear they don't suspend a play like that where you kind of get chest and head.
Right.
As opposed to the head primarily. So,
yeah.
Yeah. The calls have been rough and the numbers, especially after Dallas won a game with its power play.
Yeah.
They've only gotten two kicks at the can. And, you know, a couple of those have been late in games when kind of the game's mostly gone anyway. So it does feel a little bit like last year when some of the calls started drying up later in the series and Dallas's power play dried up at the same time. But, you know, they're going to have to find a way regardless.
We just feel as though these four teams should be the best four teams left, and I feel as though the refs and the linesmen should be the best remaining. And I don't know, it's just been tough to watch at times, but that said, Edmonton for the most part has controlled the play. And but I wanted to ask you, as a guy who has covered this team all year and done such a great job, the makeup of this team, because you've seen teams like Florida and Vegas really put a body, and I don't want to call it dirty, but make McDavid work to the point where it frustrates him at times. Like last year's Stanley Cup, Florida was a perfect example of really trying to take Connor McDavid off his game. And I know that the Oilers now have depth, but do the Stars, in your opinion, have that makeup to do something like that?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Rope hints is a big part of that. you need rope hints to do that, really. Heiskanen can kind of do that. You know, I think Heiskanen's been good in this series.
Yeah.
He's looked more like himself. There's been some mistakes at other times that have cost them a little bit. Again, Thomas Harley was very upfront after game one. Even with the victory, Harley was pretty hard on himself, on his gap on McDavid specifically. And, you know, he obviously had that bad pinch for the Oilers' second goal in game three also. So I think Harley would be the first one to tell you that he needs to be better in this series. It's also been the case that Harley has carried this team for half the season and even half the playoffs so far. He's just done everything they've asked of him and then some. So, you know, much like Rantanen, who hasn't, you know, scored much in this series, it's hard to point at them and say, oh man, they're really letting the team down, because they're not. They're the only reason they're here so far. But yeah, Heiskanen and Hintz are kind of the two players that I think you would say, yeah, those are players that can do that with McDavid. Johnston was able to do that a little bit with McKinnon, although McKinnon scored seven goals, so I don't know how much you'd say Johnston really did. But he did play well against him. It's a different sort of situation, whereas McDavid and the way the Oilers play also, you know, Zach Hyman, he's also been really good for the Oilers. It seems like every chance he gets, he's been scoring, especially in game three.
Yeah.
The absence of Roope Hintz looms large now that McDavid really looks like he's kind of getting going, which is a scary thing.
What are you seeing on these, seems like, several odd man breakouts? I mean, the 3-on-1, I mean, when I looked at that, I mean, that was tremendous work by McDavid. I actually, and I don't know if you did this as a kid, but on Spits and Suds last night, I compared that Connor McDavid passing to himself when you played one-on-one tackle football against your friend and you were allowed to pass to yourself. So you'd hike the ball and then throw it to yourself and then try to run past the other person and catch it. And I felt as though that's what Connor McDavid did to Thomas Harley. He saw Harley just pinching ever so slightly and just threw it off the boards knowing that he could do that. But the fact that the other two players were there as well, and then you have the Hyman break. Like, are you seeing something that Dallas defense is doing? Are the forwards not getting back? When you watch this game, it just seems as though Edmonton's odd man breaks are just happening too often.
Yeah. I mean, that in game two, Connor Brown's goal, the third Oilers goal that kind of salted it away, that came... It was that tip at the side of the net that he deflected right over Ottinger's pad and under his glove.
Yeah.
But the Oilers got into the zone on a 3-on-2 rush before that goal also. So Dallas has been pushing, and all three forwards, you know, we saw this early in the Colorado series where all three forwards were getting caught. And here we're seeing a couple times that all three forwards are getting caught and a defenseman's getting caught. And that's been a pretty big problem. The Oilers' second goal and their fourth goal were kind of big instances of that. The second goal, like you said, with Harley, you can see him on the play. Initially, he sits back. Then it looks like he wants to go. Then he second guesses himself and says, no, I'll sit back. Then the scrum along the wall with Granlund, I think, in there trying to keep the puck or win the puck continues. So Harley does press up because the puck's still in the Edmonton zone. Robertson and Rantanen, I think, are still down low. So you can see what Harley's thinking. If I can get the puck there, if it squirts out to my side and I get it and get it right back down low really quick, then Robertson and Rantanen have a 2-on-1 down low right there. And that's a prime scoring chance. So his instincts aren't bad. He's sensing that there's a big opportunity there. The problem is that he doesn't do the calculations quite correctly,
yeah,
because the risk of his pinching there is it turns out much greater than the reward, because giving up an odd man rush to Connor McDavid, let alone a 3-on-1 to Connor McDavid, is pretty much an automatic goal the way that team's going right now. And then the fourth goal for the Zach Hyman breakaway, that's the third defense pairing, I believe, and that's where I think Bischel it is. Again, tries to come in and keep a puck and swat it, and I think that was also Rantanen and someone else. I can't remember who the second forward was. And Bischel does kind of keep it, but it or maybe I'm getting plays mixed up here, but either way, the third pair of defensemen is on there, and I think Bischel went to try to keep it, and Petrovic is back, and Sagan was kind of tracking back, but it goes right to whoever it was, Nugent Hopkins or someone, and they see Hyman down the ice and get it there before Petrovic or Sagan comes close to cutting off the lane. And then of course the Hyman 2-on-1 was just kind of an overall, you know, at that point it's 4-1 and the game's all but over in the third period. But I, from what I'm seeing, the defense is trying to be aggressive because they're seeing the Oilers benefit from being aggressive. You know, Bouchard, Kulak had that goal where he came in as the late man in game two for their second goal. Bouchard, again, has scored a couple goals. So I think Dallas has seen that Edmonton's defense has been really contributing in that way, being that fourth player in, coming down low and keeping a play going. And so Dallas is maybe subconsciously or maybe tactically intentionally trying to emulate that, and they're getting burned pretty bad, and Edmonton's been getting those rush chances that, you know, Edmonton isn't giving up. They're getting them but not giving them up. So Dallas's defense probably just needs to maybe take an extra breath and just say, we're okay with absorbing some more 2-on-2s, and we have to be, and then our forwards also, that third forward needs to not get caught so far behind the play. We need to have at least one forward getting a little high and keeping these games closer, because Dallas has had stretches in every game. I'd say they've had some kind of push, but you can't really push when you're, you know, losing the race to three goals every night.
And the Petrovic story, I don't know, maybe it's an off-season story that can be told in detail, but the fact that he comes in and replaces Nils Lundqvist last year, then spends most of the year with the Texas Stars, and then comes up and not only subs for the injured Nils Lundqvist, but then we have also fills in now for Dumba and Lyubushkin. Do you expect or anticipate maybe Lyubushkin back in for game four?
That's a good question, because I didn't really expect Lyubushkin to come out
at
all to begin with.
I didn't either.
So based on what I've kind of seen, I'm operating under the assumption that Petrovic came back in because he makes Bischel better. They just work better together. There's more familiarity and just a bigger comfort level for
sure.
Bischel.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the Stars' only goal last night came off of that third pairing having a really good shift, both of Petrovic laying a big hit and Bischel putting two good pucks on net off plays from Rantanen. Rantanen was really good on that shift. He was really good for a lot of stretches last night.
Yeah.
But he was looking a little bit tired at points, and you know, he just needs some help. The Stars aren't going to be able to win this series the way they won the Colorado series. Edmonton's just too good of a team. Their defense is too deep and good. And their forwards they're getting that production that Colorado wasn't getting from their middle six. Right. And then of course the Winnipeg series was just tighter to begin with throughout. So that, to me, Lyubushkin, I don't know that Dallas's defense really makes many changes here, because the Petrovic and Bischel pairing wasn't really the problem last night. On defense, the problem is that you need a little bit more from players like Harley. They've moved Haskin and Lindell together a little bit more often, which, you know, can be good. I think that pairing can bring good things, but I don't know that taking Petrovic back out again and put Lyubushkin back in. I don't know if that's a big, I don't know if you gain a lot. You might do that if you think the penalty kill needs a lot of help, but Lindell and CC have been doing a fair amount. They've given up one power play goal per game so far, which is the same amount Dallas has scored. Dallas just happened to score all theirs in one game. So I don't know if bringing Lyubushkin in just for the penalty kill makes a lot of sense. And I think you really want to have four lines because their fourth line has been pretty good. I thought Beck had a good game, especially on the penalty kill too last night. So
yeah,
I think you keep 12 forwards. And, you know, as much as I think Lyubushkin's had a fantastic season and a really good playoffs, I don't know that personnel change is really what you need right now other than just getting Roope Hintz healthy.
If he can't go, could you see, or regardless of which, could you see maybe a Maverick Bork coming in for Dadonov, or are we done seeing Maverick Bork for the year? I'm just saying that because on the road they're struggling.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I don't think Dadonov would be the one to come out, though. I just don't think they see that as a comparable trade. Mm-hmm. I think DeBoer sees Dadonov as a player who, you know, who scored 20 goals this year, and he might have a game where he scores two goals or scores that key goal, you know, like he did against, I think it was in Colorado in one of those games that went to overtime. I think it was Dadonov who scored a really important goal at the net front there to get him there. Maybe it was in the 2-1 game. I can't remember. I don't see Dadonov coming out at this point unless he starts really, you know, again, he hasn't chipped in, but a lot of players haven't chipped in yet, right? The Stars only have four goals in three games, or I'm sorry, they have seven goals in three games, but they have one goal in their last two games. So it, just about everyone except Tyler Seguin hasn't really done enough so far in this series. And I don't know that Maverick Bork really moves the needle in the eyes of the coaching staff. I think he will. He's going to be a really good player, but they saw him a couple times in this postseason, and it's been pretty clear that they don't see him having a big upside with the level of competition that they're facing right now. And, you know, it's funny, Bork came in for game six against Edmonton last year and actually looked really good. But after a year of experience in the NHL now, he seems less likely to come into the Edmonton series this year. So I don't know. It seems like it's kind of tough to be a rookie in the NHL sometimes.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. Okay. StarsThoughts.com. Absolutely love it. What do you have coming up? Also, the D Magazine plug. What you and David is doing is really, really cool. So you got some great stuff this playoff season.
Yeah. I've got a couple pieces coming. I don't want to spoil anything right now, but I've been writing every day, sometimes multiple pieces a day, sometimes too often if something like the Roope Hintz thing happens. Keep an eye out in game four. Dallas, this is the point now where Dallas is going to say, okay, we have to change some of the momentum. We have to have a breakthrough in this series. So I think you'll see something in game four you haven't seen yet in this series. Whatever that is, whether it's changed lines or whether it's a very clearly different approach or a couple, you know, extra big hits or nonsense behind the play or mixing it up. I don't know, but I suspect you're going to see some bigger changes than you've seen almost at any point in the playoffs. Could be wrong. Again, Dallas is 5-5, numbers looking good, but that's kind of my hot take for game four. I think you might see some of the bigger adjustments than you've seen all series.
I like that. And as much as I love the national media flying in to cover this team, give my man the microphone before the national media, right, Robert? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's hard because we're there on, you know, we're there on off days. We're there at the airport and stuff like that, too. So we're talking to the coaches and the players fairly often, whereas some of the national media is only there on game days or whatever. So sometimes it's the case that, you know, the coaches can only, you know, eventually they get sick of us and maybe we get sick of them a little. So we try to give them a break by giving some other people a chance to ask the same questions for once. So,
yeah,
you know, but we try to be gracious. But we try to spread the love, too.
Well, I'm glad that at least Pete DeBoer thought the Stars played better, because when Tim Collishaw was asking that question, I did not want round two. So I think that was really good. But it's an interesting dynamic. Maybe I'm just the media nerd being in the media that is fascinating when national media comes to town and Pete DeBoer is basically seeing them for the first time. And I can imagine that is tough for a coach where it's like, okay, I'll ask these simple questions, but where have you been? I can understand where that comes to his mind.
Yeah. And a coach, you know, I think most coaches, since most coaches are former players, you know, DeBoer played not in the NHL, but he was a really good player when he was younger. you know, it's hard, right? You want to help your team win. You want to do anything you can without tinkering so much that you kind of get your players in their own heads and things like that. So sometimes taking a stand in the media and trying to fire your team up that way, sometimes that can be a little bit of a catharsis, because you can't change everything you want to change, and you can't go out there and, you know, lay a big hit yourself. So sometimes, firing back a little bit in the media can be a way of doing that, as far as coaches are able to. So I don't know. I try to have some grace for coaches, because they're going through things.
Sure.
In some ways they have all the hardship of a player with none of the ability to kind of get out in the ice and leave it all out there that players do. So I'm sure it's tough in ways no one really understands except them. So
we've already
tried to have a little bit of understanding.
Yeah, we've already had Spits and Suds listeners talking about off-season questions, and I am halting it until this thing. I am halting it, Robert. In fact, you'll appreciate this. I popped a Frosty. We did it after game one against Colorado, and then the Stars won. So I popped the Frosty, and I said, we're going to do this one more time to hopefully tie this series at two. So as much as I've watched,
you're doing your part.
I'm doing my, yep, absolutely. I'm doing my.
I will say, Jim Neal did say the other day on a, I think it was a pregame interview or something. He did say, he referred to Matt Duchene and said that he's a player he's planning on bringing back. So if you want some offseason talk, there's something Jim Neal said. So we'll see if it happens, right? Of course, you know, everything sounds nice until you actually have to sit down and hammer out contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, I want Duchene back. Granlin has become a top target for me because I just love how he has gelled with this team. My only thing with Jim Neal and how Jim Gregory Award 3 years, won it two straight years. You got to stop saying these things. He wants Jamie back. He wants Matt Duchene back. Like, these agents are like, hey man, you said it, so let's get the deal done, right?
Hey, it works for Vegas, right? That sort of approach. And yeah, we're just going to get the guys we want and we'll figure it all out after the fact. And, you know, it keeps working out pretty well for him. Maybe not so well this year. But there's something to be said for that get good players and figure it out later approach. So, who are we to second guess the presumptive three-time winner?
No. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Robert Tiffin, you're an absolute beast. We love you on Spits and Suds. Thank you so much for all of your contributions. It's starsthoughts.com. It's a terrific read. Absolutely love. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, thank you for leading me on to starsthoughts.com. And I said, that's what this is all about. Appreciate it, my man. Get some rest.
Thanks, Gavin. Appreciate it. And appreciate all you do for me and people like me.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. Will we be back after game number four? Of course we will. That'll happen tomorrow night. And you know, the best thing about this series, selfishly, we have some early starts. So we'll be on after the game, hopefully popping Frosties with you. And until then, have a great day, everyone.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.